I love how the church has more fun by accident than the world does on purpose. We love having church. We love being in church. We love everything about the church. Amen. And God is good. Somebody shout all the time. Praise the Lord. While you're standing, why don't we go to the scripture today? Usually, and I know Sunday is marked as, I mean, we hit it and get it and go after it, and it's spitting speed on Sunday, it seems like, but I don't know. There's just a wonderful, concentrated, undergirding, sweet presence of God in the house. It's something that I feel that we just can't rush. And it's been beautiful from the very beginning of the service until now. Amen. And so, the presence of the Lord. You got to come. You got to be here every service because each one is very different. And God is such a personality until you never know what He's up to. And I like to come and see what He's up to. So we invite you back tonight. We'll start again at 7 o'clock. And as Paul Harvey said, you'll hear the rest of the story. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 24. For Christ has not entered into the holy places that were made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Now, I don't want to just fly through this. What he's talking about is the holy place made with hands was the old tabernacle in the Old Testament. And he's letting us know that was just figures of the true thing that's going to come in the New Testament. And so he went into heaven now to appear in the presence of God for us. So the flesh is gone to be with the Spirit. And we read in Hebrews 10 and 1 just what the Old Testament really was and the tabernacle really was. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, turn to your neighbor and say, that was a shadow. Yeah. Old Testament was a shadow of things to come. It's not the very image of the thing. And it can never, with those sacrifices that they did, which they offered year by year, continually, it can't continually make the comers thereunto perfect. But it rolled their sins ahead another year each time they would do these certain sacrifices in the Old Testament until that perfect sacrifice comes. Well, we're living in the era of time that the perfect sacrifice has come, and we're in the New Testament. I thank God for that. I really do. I thank God for that. Amen. And so, let me preach this. We are just too close not to get closer. We are too close not to get closer. You feel that? Let's just lift our hands with our hearts and ask the Lord to bless not just the preaching, but the very atmosphere today. Lord, we call on the name and seek the favor and the face of God. Looking unto you from whence cometh our help, because we know that our help comes from you. We pray the blessings and the favor, the grace and the goodness, the anointing of God upon this service this morning by your sweet spirit in the mighty and the wonderful name of the Lord. Somebody shout amen. To all of our guests and visitors, come right on up. It's time for you to sing. I'm kidding. Thank you so much for being here. God bless you as you're seated just now. Amen. We would love for you to make it a habit to be at Landmark. Praise God. Our biggest enemy in the last days is focus. Literally, spiritual focus. Amen. Detail. Looking, even as I'm speaking right now. You hear that sound when you send an email sometimes. Our biggest problem is focus. What did preacher say today? I don't know. Let's go to Burger King. And so it is. Our biggest enemy in the last days is not just a focus, but a spiritual focus, a hunger and a deep desire to read into what God is up to in my life and not let it just pass me by. We can't afford to have an attitude that says, let's just get close. Let's just get to the point that we are almost. Because almost will work in horseshoes and hand grenades, but not in your soul's eternal salvation and rescue from the pits of a red hot hell that's totally intended for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25, the five virgins were close. Mark 10, 21, the rich young ruler was face to face with Jesus Christ. Acts 26 and 28, Agrippa said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Amen. My question is, are we almost there? Are we close? If we are, and if close matters to us, then why don't we just get a little bit closer today? Because we might be too close not to get closer. Could we worship the Lord just a moment? Amen. Does anybody want to get closer? Amen. Does anybody want to get a little closer? Praise God. And so we need to learn the importance of moments. There are millions in eternity that wish that they had one more moment, like the moment when the Lord challenged them to another dimension or just to get just a little closer. You see, when the Lord or the Spirit drew you here to become a part of the church or just to come to church in general, He knew exactly how long it would be. Can I share a personal story with you just real quick? Amen. As a teenager, I lived in North Carolina, and I was going to a certain church. And my uncle, it was my uncle's church, and he invited me, and I started. And that's when the Lord started dealing with me and working on me and all of that. We had spent a stint of time when I was very young in the state of Florida, simply because, I'm just going to say it, my dad was running from the law. That's the kind of family I was from. Don't look at me funny, for of such were some of you. And so we had a stint there and all that. And sometime within that process, I went to a little church, and when I say it was a little church, it was a very small church, and I have nothing against small churches because we've been a small church. We're a small church right now, in my eyes. And so I went to that church, and the young people, they just didn't hang in there. It was rock and roll during the week, and it was drugs and all this during the week, and then it was Jesus on the weekend. And anyway, we wound up back in North Carolina. I guess the heat got off my dad, and so we came back. It wasn't long after that I was with, this particular time, I was living with my mom. It's a long story, but I worked with my uncle, and my uncle went to that church, and I went to his church, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to move back to Florida. If I ever felt and heard the voice of God, I heard it that day, and he told me to move back to Florida. From that day to the very day that I moved back to Florida was 6 months or more, because I really fought it. I enjoyed where I was, enjoyed my job. I enjoyed all of that. Going to this other church there, I enjoyed this. This was Kinston, North Carolina. But the Lord said, move to Florida. He said nothing else, but he hammered on my spirit for a long time until I just couldn't fight it anymore. And when I couldn't fight it anymore, I moved. And when I went back to that little church where young people refused to really truly live for God and all of that, I was sitting there. And when church started, there was an apostolic man bringing the word of God, and his choir was right behind him singing. And after service, I said, I don't know where these folks go to church, but wherever they go, that's where I'm going. They could have been from Canada. But that night, when they left, I was going to Canada. Because because I saw a green light from God, and I've been apostolic ever since. So God knows from the beginning to the end how long it takes to get you and I where we need to be in His perfect will. He knew how long I was going to fight that. He knew how long I would struggle with that. And He timed it to that specific day, that specific night. They had never preached there before, and they never preached there again after. It was just that one night. And so the Lord said, I got to time this so I can get into His heart and get into His head and give Him direction. Because He has a hunger for me. He's already close to me. And I guess the Lord was looking at me and saying, He's a little bit too close for me not to draw Him closer. And I'm feeling with all of my spirit and every ounce of my heart right now that there are individuals in this house today that the Lord is saying, you're too close for me not to draw you closer. Could somebody pray for somebody right now? Amen. I want to welcome you to an atmosphere where we have a relationship with God. See, this is not just a religion. Please don't leave and say, in their religion, their religion, their religion. This ain't their religion. This is a relationship. It's a relationship. And you say, why are you so emotional? If you want to keep a relationship, you better be a little bit emotional. Why are they so just worshipy and they praise? And because we're in a relationship with Him. And then every now and then He comes back around and says, you're too close not to get closer. And my hunger, my desire today for every individual in this building today is for you to draw closer to the Lord today before you walk out those doors. Amen. Praise God. And so this invite from the King of Kings is very special. It's powerful. It's supernatural. And it's literally, I don't want to sound like a hippie, but it is far, far out. And it's just out of this world. It's more than this world. It's more than carnal thinking. It's more than accumulating things. It's more than friends. It's more than family. Amen. In fact, only a few even find it, the Bible says. Matthew 7:14 says, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Why? Because when He comes telling us it's time to be closer, some of us don't hear it, or we are not motivated by it, and we miss out on what God has in store for us. You see, in the Old Testament, He was too close to us not to get closer. He got so close to us in the Old Testament until He felt that He just could not afford to sit back any longer, but that I've got to get closer. And so since He was the first one that felt He needed to get closer, why don't we be the next ones that feel like we need to get close to Him? Somebody shout closer. Amen. That's why the New Testament. Amen. Because the Old Testament was not close enough. It didn't satisfy. And it didn't gratify Him. He wasn't close enough. He had to come as a man. He had to come and bleed. He had to come and suffer. He had to come and carry His own cross so that we, too, could get closer. That's why I once was lost and now I'm found. That's why I once was blind, but now I see. That's why I once did not have a clue, but now I know what the Lord has done for me. In order to give us an even deeper perspective, He gave us the tabernacle in the Old Testament. He laid it all out in the Old Testament physically, what He would expect from us in the New Testament spiritually. And so the tabernacle layout was the plan of salvation for the New Testament church. Watch what happens from the brazen altar to the incense. Amen. It bothers me that there are people that have gone to their churches all their lives and have never heard one lesson on the tabernacle plan of the Old Testament, when the tabernacle was so important until the Lord told Moses, if you don't build it like I want you to build it, I'll take your life. Because this is an example to the New Testament of what I desire for them. Listen, look at the lamb at the original Passover. What did they have to do? They had to sacrifice the lamb. Well, who is the lamb in the New Testament? Look at the lamb. They had to devour it. They had to have the blood on the door. Amen. He is the lamb. He shed his blood. And the Bible says he is the door, amen, to the kingdom of God. All of this ties in together. And so they had to be filled with the lamb and covered by the blood. Have you ever been taught that? Hello? Amen. And so the flood, look at the flood, the Red Sea at Moses' crossing. Why was it a Red Sea? Why was it a, I'm telling you, you know, an example of our baptism. What destroyed others saved others. You see, that baptism thing in the Old Testament, and I'll give you proof here in just a moment, but that parting of the Red Sea and the children of Israel crossing over was a form of our New Testament baptism. Amen. They crossed through the water. Well, the enemy is coming that don't believe in crossing through the water. And so Moses' bunch got through the water to the other side. Anybody want to get to the other side? Then cross through the water. But there are those, Brother Sinkfelt, that are against it. And so for some, it saved them. For the ones that were against it, it destroyed them. Some of the things in the Word of God, this world needs to get a deeper look at, because if you don't, it's going to destroy you. Amen. We are saved by obedience to Jesus Christ. Obedience and works is getting confused in this last generation. It is not works to be obedient. It's obedient. We just dedicated a little baby to the Lord. Amen. God forbid that the Cormier family tell him, hey, Clark, amen, we love you. You don't have to obey us. We just love you. Obedience is works. You don't have to work for our love. You don't have to obey us. Hey, works is one thing. Obedience is another. Amen. I'm telling you, ask my children. If you're going to be my child, you're going to obey me in my house. Well, this is his house. Don't we think it's time to be obedient? The challenge of the Lord is coming to us today, amen, that we are just too close not to get closer. He wants us to draw closer today. There's a reason for that. I don't know what your future holds. I don't know how many doctors are going to be there. I don't know how many, what kind of traffic accident it might be. I don't know what kind of disease it might be. I don't know what kind of blessing it might be, amen. Some of you couldn't handle cancer right now, and you would blame God for it. Some of you couldn't handle a $1 million bonus right now because you wouldn't love God after that. Amen. He's saying you're just a little bit too close not to get closer. I want to bless you. I want to lift you up. I want to help you. I want to heal you. I want to deliver you. I want to take you to new heights and new dimensions. You're too close not to get closer. Too close not to get closer. Praise God. Study it. The Old Testament tabernacle was a type and a shadow of things to come. The outer court, everybody could come. It was a place of, where for spectators and a place for onlookers. And not many ventured into the inner court. They were just content to hang out, so to speak. It was for those that were serious. The inner court was always for those that are serious. I'm inviting somebody to the inner court, not to just hang out the outer court, but come on in and let's get closer to this. You're too close not to get closer. praise God. The high priest went in there. Amen. But today it's for the hungry. Amen. Jesus always blessed before he gave. And before he gives to me, I just want to know I want him to be my blessing. I want him to be my blessing. I don't want to hold him hostage and say, bless me or I'm out of here. I want him to be my blessing. And then he can pour out anything he wants to pour out afterwards. Praise God. I don't want to be present and unaccountable. Does that make sense? I don't want to be here and then be unaccountable. Where God can't rely on me for anything. Spectator and onlooker. Lean against the wall and stare at everybody else, do everything. That ain't me. And that's not the nature of a child of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Regardless of who's involved or who's not involved, get your sleeves rolled up and let's go to work for the glory of God. For the kingdom of God, the will of God. Amen. And so, I don't want to be present in here and not accountable for anything. Amen. Somebody say inner court. That's an awesome place. The place of much. It had the table of showbread. We know who the bread is. It had the altar of incense. We know that means prayer. It had the seven golden candlesticks, or the place of unnatural light. There's a light in here beyond these lights that we see. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, and that's not natural. And then you come into the holiest of holies. That's where the ark of God is. Amen. And then the rings for the poles that carried the ark of God. Rings represent an ongoing. There's no end. There's no beginning. It continues. Representing eternity. Everything they had, every piece of furniture, every little article represented something for the New Testament. Amen. Therein was Aaron's rod that budded. Amen. People are called to God and they're gifted without any roots. Your daddy didn't have to be a preacher. Your mother didn't have to be Mother Teresa. Hello? Your grandpa didn't have to be the Pope. You come on in here. Roots or no roots, God can make something special out of you. If you can feel the fact that you are close, amen, feel the fact right now that he wants to draw you closer. Let's worship him for just a moment. Hallelujah. Come on. Men, let me hear your voice, would you? Ladies, mighty God, I want to be closer. I want more than religion here today, Lord. I want a relationship. I want a touch. I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you. I want you to walk with me. I want you to talk with me. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. And then in there was the tablets of stone representing the Word of God, and then Christ Jesus being that rock. So the Word of God came from the rock. Never been taught that. Throne of God, where his presence is. That's why it had a mercy seat on top of it. But we go to the mercy seat by stepping into his very presence. You could go into the other two areas lost, and you can go in there undone, and nobody would ever say anything. But if the priest or anybody came into this third dimension of the tabernacle and anything was wrong in his life, he lost out. There's a price to being closer, because you gain more wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And the Bible says, with much knowledge, there's an increase in sorrow. Because the more you know, the more you see, and the more you see, the more sorrow it brings to you. How many of you come to God and you say, I never saw that before. I never sensed that before. I was never able to see the lost like I see the lost before. I've never been able to see the rampage of sin and its devastation on the lives of individuals like I see it now. That's because God gave you a knowledge. And the reason he gave you the knowledge is because he could trust you. And the reason he could trust you is because you got too close. And he brought you just a little bit closer. Amen. Spectators die out. but participators become partners. And it's time for someone to graduate from being a spectator to a participator. It's not just another level we're looking for, it's another dimension. And there's a difference. So the outer court represents our chance. Brother Billy, he's pretty particular about how the grass is mowed, how this, all this is cared for. That's why he spent his vacation making sure everything looked real good for Beast Feast. And that's why Jeremy had us up here clearing out this parking lot of all debris and all of that. And that's why Brother Rick had one of the guys that literally worked for him on the clock cleaning out the new church and all that in case we took people on tour. And you see what I'm saying here? Amen. The outer court, all of that outside, all of that, they see that before they see anything else. And we want that to look good because we want them to feel good when they come. Amen. But how long is it going to take a feel good to keep you here? When do we go into that next dimension to where it's our responsibility to make others feel good, whether we feel good or not? The outer court represents a chance, and all of us have had that chance, or we wouldn't even be here. Somebody got too close, and the Lord is whispering, now I want to bring you closer. I want to take you into another arena. The inner court represents participation. You begin to get involved. The holiest of holies represents total, absolute commitment. Because we know that God wants 100% or nothing. Amen. So the third dimension is where Paul went in Romans chapter 8. Brother Tyre, I'm sorry I didn't give you this one, but Romans chapter 8, verse number 35 through 39. We got a moment. I'm nearly done. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 30. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Paul is saying, I want to know who. Who can do that? Shall tribulation? Distress? How about persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Peril? How about swords? People coming against me. As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. That's who we are. That's what Paul said. He said, no. And all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Wow. For I am persuaded. You know what persuaded means? For I have got my mind made up that neither death nor life nor angels, principalities, powers, things present, nor things that can come. I don't even know what's going to come against me, but I've already got my mind made up. Height, depth, it don't matter how big it is. It don't matter how deep the problem is. It doesn't matter what kind of creature, what kind of spirit shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Nothing, nothing, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. I'm inviting somebody to go there with me right now. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. From the outer court, you're clueless. But from the holiest of holies, you see his promises. You see his purposes. You see his powers. You see his presence. And you can see all the prevention. I cannot speak for you. I can only speak for me. But I don't want to be a shadow of things to come. I want to be one of those things that was supposed to come. He didn't save Paul for this day. He didn't save Moses for this day. They were great in their day and their shadow. He saved you and I for this day. So come out of the shadow. And let the light so shine. Somebody got too close. now he's whispering, come closer. I wonder if there's anybody here today that would like to do that. And if this were the holiest of holies, I would invite you into that third dimension. Come from the outer court, step through the inner court, and make your way to the holiest of holies, where the presence of the Lord is, where the anointing breaks the yoke, where strongholds are broken and torn down, where there's healing, virtue, where there's power and spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Where there's more, there's something deeper than your opinion. Amen. There's literally the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the anointing of God, the rest, the peace that passes all understanding. Somebody reach out and believe with me. Somebody trust God with me right now. I'm sorry, but you got just a little bit too close, and now He has called you closer. Closer. You're not far from that place.
There's a still,
come in from the outer. Come in from the outer. Oh, come from the old to the new. Come out of the shadow. Hallelujah. For just a moment, make a connection with somebody you love. Make a connection with somebody you're familiar with. Amen. And let's pray. Let's believe the Lord. While you're asking God to bring them closer, they're asking God to bring you closer. And together we will come closer. Hallelujah. I'm sorry, but you got too close. You got too close. There was something in there that made you get too close. And now the Lord is saying, I want you closer than that. I need you closer than that. I need you to be even closer than that. Oh, hallelujah. My, 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 my. Praise our God.
Draw me close to you.
Jesus.
Just to hear.